welcome to another episode of A Brighter Future, Laidlaw & Company's podcast series. I'm Rick Calhoun, CEO of Laidlaw Wealth Management, and once again, I am joined by David Garrity, Chief Market Strategist for Laidlaw & Company. Thank you for being here, David.
Rick, thank you very much for having us in. Welcome the opportunity to comment on the current turbulent market.
Turbulent is probably an understatement. David, as we have in the past episodes, I wanted to check in on our Laidlaw 5 for 2020. But before we do that, I really need to get your macro perspective on what we're experiencing right now. It has only been a few weeks since we last spoke, but it seems like an eternity. In that time, we've seen the fastest 10% correction in history, the fastest shift from 52-week high to 52-week low in history, the first time we've ever had four consecutive alternating days of up or down 2%, and that has all occurred in the last 2 weeks. Over the weekend, our friends at Barron's began to reference things like exogenous shocks and black swans. Ooh. And as we enter this week, we now have the S&P 500 off over 12% coming into this morning from an all-time high. And we had futures down the limit. We experienced a halt in trading, which we hadn't had in quite some time. So given all that, oh, and by the way, we just heard that Ireland has canceled the St. Patrick's Day parade. David, what are your thoughts?
Well, it seems only appropriate, Rick, to say that, you know, in the spirit of the Chinese curse, may you live in interesting times, we're certainly in the thick of it at the moment, as efforts to contain the COVID-19 coronavirus to China only have clearly failed. There are now 80 countries and counting that have reported infections, and the weekend has seen the announcement of radical steps, such as Italy putting the Lombardy region around Milan, their economic capital, and an area representing 20 to 25% of their GDP, under quarantine. Meanwhile, over the weekend on Sunday, Trump administration officials took to the TV talk shows to caution Americans to brace for daily disruptions, not a confidence-building move. Clearly, economic activity is grinding to a standstill in the face of growing COVID-19 coronavirus quarantines. This is making it challenging to estimate global GDP growth and, of more immediate concern to investors, corporate earnings per share. Sources such as Bloomberg Economics estimate that economic fallout from the COVID-19 coronavirus could be as much as $2.7 trillion. You know, this is a big hit to global GDP, and $2.7 trillion down would represent a minus 3.1% decline from the 2019 level of $87 trillion for global GDP. Note that COVID-19 coronavirus is having a negative effect to both supply and demand sides of the economy. On the supply side, through supply chain disruption, and on demand, consumers are hunkering down. So this is an economic shock that differs markedly from the 2009 Great Recession. Now, before addressing the question of the timing and shape of the expected economic recovery, it's best first to assess when the global spread of COVID-19 coronavirus might be expected to peak. On that score, a RAND Corporation expert panel indicated that this is unlikely to occur until the second quarter of 2020, with an outside possibility that this may take until the third quarter of 2020. One important point from the expert panel is that the COVID-19 coronavirus may not abate seasonally and is likely to see multiple waves of infection, similar to the flu epidemic back in 1918. All of this serves to underscore the importance of developing a vaccine, a process that is likely to take until mid-2021. And all of this serves to highlight the vulnerable state the global economy will be in for 2020.
Great update, kind of scary. Interesting, though, to hear you say that the economy would be in a vulnerable state. And the reason why I say that is last time we spoke, we were focused on both the PMI numbers, as we thought that there was the potential that if that number came in as a slowing number, it could show that the service sector might be weakening. And since the service sector represents 60% of our economy, that would be a concern about a potential recession. In addition to that, you referenced the unemployment number. Well, we had a blowout on the unemployment number, over 100,000 more than estimated. And then, of course, the PMI number was as well good. But it seems as if they were both ignored. And now the coronavirus has taken over every conversation. Is that both our new focus and really our market's focus.
Yes. I mean, we do think that the COVID-19 coronavirus is going to be calling the tune, not only for the global economy, but certainly also for capital markets around the world. Now, you know, on their own, the recent February 2020 economic data were indeed very encouraging. But we have to note that they primarily serve now to set a baseline for how well the U.S. economy was performing before the containment efforts around the COVID-19 coronavirus failed. You know, quite accurately, the services PMI reading of 57.3 was a great number and historically consistent with plus 3% real GDP growth on an annualized basis. You know, following on that, the unemployment report of a $273,000 person gain in jobs was very solid, also well ahead of expectations. You know, the bottom line is we had a nice economy here. It was too bad COVID-19 coronavirus had to come along and ruin it.
Yeah, sort of like asking Mrs. Lincoln, how was the rest of the play? When we unveiled the Laidlaw 20, David, we had talked about fears that actually oil might top $75 a barrel. And that was actually a concern that we had. Today, it's actually under 45 and headed to potentially even lower. It's great for those of us with the big SUVs, but what does that mean to the bigger picture?
Yeah, you know, our thoughts back in December of 2019 when drafting the Laidlaw 5 for 2020 was that oil might reprise its exogenous shock role to the global economy with an upside spike stemming from hostilities in the Persian Gulf. Now, you know, that said, we did get, you know, the risk of a shooting war between the U.S. and Iran, but that's certainly died down. However, you know, that said, we did not anticipate that the production cooperation between OPEC and Russia would collapse as it did late last week. You know, the ensuing move over the weekend by Saudi Arabia to seize market share from Russia now has WTI crude quoted down 23% at about $32 a barrel. And Goldman Sachs has also come out calling for crude prices to fall to the $20 a barrel level. Now, normally, a collapse in oil prices would be seen as stimulative, but the demand environment with the COVID-19 coronavirus is quite different as consumers are hunkering down across the globe. Oil is historically a leading indicator commodity. With the likelihood of oil breaking below $30 a barrel, this price move does not bode well as it has negative implications for the high-yield bond market as well as for the energy sector exposure for commercial banks. Also, with $45 a barrel being the break-even level for the U.S. oil shale producers, we think that, you know, look for U.S. employment in that sector to be cut back. Meanwhile, away from the oil price move, you know, there have been signs that China has been slowly ramping up production in an effort to restart global supply chains. You know, this is based on weekday traffic volumes in major cities in China, Beijing, Shanghai, Shenzhen. But weekend traffic, which reflects consumer activity, remains depressed. The weekend traffic patterns are also becoming depressed in major European cities, Milan, Rome, Paris, and here in the U.S., Seattle, San Francisco, and right here in New York City. So the takeaway from this analysis is that while China is trying to restart global supply chains, consumers are not buying, but instead hunkering down. All we appear to be seeing from China is an effort to replenish inventory, but consumers are not drawing this down due to the impact of the global spread of the COVID-19 coronavirus.
Scary to think that the price of oil could potentially drop to as much as $20 a barrel. When you look at this morning, a 2-liter bottle of Purell hand sanitizer is $36.55. This coronavirus has gotten a little crazy. Let's stay with consistent on our theme, David. And we had talked about the idea of TINA, T-I-N-A. There is no alternative to the equity markets when we put together the 2020 Laidlaw 5. It seems like investors, though, have begun to sell everything. There's been just indiscriminate selling related in the past 2 weeks. If you look at what Goldman Sachs recently wrote, they created their bull case. And they said in their bull case, the GDP would bottom at zero growth in the second quarter and then rebound with the S&P 500 getting to 19 times by year end for a target of 3,400. Of course, they had to balance that by presenting their bear case, which is a recession with the S&P 500 down 17%. So based on that, David, are you a bull or are you a bear?
Well, Rick, you know, mindful of historical performance, it clearly favors equities. with a 7% annual gain, you know, over time. I consider myself to be a bull. However, with significant uncertainty around where 2020 earnings will come in, it's difficult to determine where a good entry point might be for long-term investors to step in front of the current level of market volatility. That said, we think that for us to find a market bottom, we need to have two things. First, we need to have a down day on the S&P 500 of about 5% or more, with a reading on the VIX fear index of 58 or higher. Both of those levels, 5% down on the S&P and VIX of 58 or more, would be five standard deviations away from historical means, i.e. significant tail events. We also need to see, second, for an S&P 500 to rally, despite, you know, ongoing flows of negative news around the COVID-19 coronavirus. You know, certainly we're not seeing that as of yet, but those are the things that we're looking for. Meanwhile, as our 2020 S&P 500 target level of 3,420 is essentially in line with what Goldman Sachs was saying for their bull case of 3,400, we're happy to congratulate Goldman Sachs for adopting the Laidlaw 5 point of view.
Fantastic. So just want to follow up on those two things. That would be a market close, David, of 5% down and a VIX of 58, right? Not an intraday. We need to see a close.
Yeah, we need to see a close.
Got it. Okay. In preparation for today's discussion, you referenced something very interesting as it relates to the impact on our healthcare system as it relates to facilities and really people, healthcare practitioners. Could you share that with our listeners?
Certainly. I mean, earlier we discussed the challenge of determining the likely parameters around the global spread of the COVID-19 coronavirus. You know, one important subsidiary consideration is determine, you know, what's the available healthcare system capacity to address the epidemic? And capacity here is measured very simply by hospital beds and the medical staff necessary to provide adequate levels of care. You know, one of the challenges the United States faces now is that, you know, among developed countries, you know, this country, we have one of the lowest levels of hospital beds per citizen. That said, you know, we've gone through and read analyses that indicate that at current infection rates, the available U.S. healthcare system capacity will be fully used up by sometime during the month of May 2020. Clearly, we're going to need to have a significant U.S. government-led effort to increase the supply of hospital beds and medical staff. You know, if that means that the Department of Defense opens up hospitals to civilians on military bases, you know, we're going to have to see what we can draw on. But the thing to look at here is that, you know, this draw on the U.S. healthcare system capacity from addressing the COVID-19 coronavirus, you know, may serve to crowd out patients with other ailments from receiving care. It's going to be harder to see your doctor going forward, most certainly. So we can just simply say, stay healthy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Make use of your Purell hand sanitizer without a doubt. So as we come to the end of this episode, David, one of the things we like to do is give our listeners some things that they can keep an eye on. Last time we talked, you had shared this. Some things they should look at were the unemployment number that was going to be announced and the PMI number. As you look out in a market that's choppy and people trying to figure out some places for stability, are there things that you would tell them to look for as guides and some helpful points?
No, certainly. I mean, one of the things that market participants are looking forward to is next week's mid-month meeting of the U.S. Federal Reserve. And as we know, we've already had a cut taken by the Fed in between meetings of 50 basis points last week. The expectation is of seeing a further reduction in interest rates, possibly of another 50 basis points at the meeting next week. The thing that, you know, from our standpoint, it's good to see that monetary easing is occurring, but clearly what's really more necessary in the current environment is more of a coordinated fiscal policy response by the U.S. and other governments, and that certainly there's going to have to be, apart from just the fiscal policy response, a concerted effort to provide greater capacity in healthcare systems worldwide to address this issue. And, you know, if there could be anything done to accelerate the development of a vaccine, that would be wonderful, but this usually takes 12 to 18 months. So mid-2021 is kind of what we're left with right now in terms of looking for the delivery of a commercially available vaccine.
Got it. Fantastic. Well, we are definitely in some uncharted waters, and we'll continue to focus on this. This brings us to the end of another episode of A Brighter Future. Please look for the next episode. We will once again update Laidlaw 2020 with David Garrity, our Chief Market Strategist. Thank you for listening and have a good day.
This podcast was recorded and is being made available by Laidlaw & Company, together with its affiliates and their employees, Laidlaw, solely for informational purposes. Laidlaw is not providing or undertaking to provide any financial, economic, legal, accounting, tax, or other advice in or by virtue of this podcast. The information, statements, comments, views, and opinions provided in this podcast are general in nature, and such information, statements, comments, views, and opinions, and the receipt of this podcast by any listener are not intended to be, nor should be construed as the provision of investment advice by Laidlaw to that listener or generally, and do not result in any listener being considered a client or customer of Laidlaw. The information, statement, comments, views, and opinions expressed in this podcast do not constitute and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any securities or make or consider any investment course of action. Laidlaw does not make any representation or warranty as to the accuracy or completeness of any of the information, statements, comments, views, or opinions contained in this podcast, and any liability therefore is expressly disclaimed. Laidlaw does not undertake any obligation whatsoever to provide any form of update, amendment, change, or correction to any of the information, statements, comments, views, or opinions set forth in this podcast. No part of this podcast may, without Laidlaw's prior written consent, be reproduced, redistributed, published, copied, or duplicated in any form by any means.